Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation or our operation may be found at scars@voip.com. Your net controls actually are several and too many to mention, but my name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm located in wet Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we had a high of 93 today, and it's currently about 85, and the thunderstorms are there in the background. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, how about anyone celebrating a birthday, either this week, maybe last week, or this upcoming week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy birthday? All right, no birthday stations. That means none of us are getting any older. This is the TIN Open Forum, the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Do you want to advise all stations connected that this net is being recorded for a future presentation on our website as a podcast? So if you've been part of this session tonight, you'll definitely be part of that recording. And like Gordon said, our topic tonight is what's new in your ham operation. So with that, I'm going to throw it right over to KY6V to begin the program. But I hope you guys have a lot of fun tonight. Kilo 6 Sierra United November, over to KY6V.
I am. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate you doing that opening here tonight. Guys and gals, she's a little under the weather. She came down with a stomach flu here last night, and she's still a little green behind the gills. But she's a showman.
Connected. Conference. H-A-M.
I will go ahead and run the preamble. And we just had the Hamsnet down in Australia joining us. Hello, Robert, and all that are assembled. We're just getting started. Want to say good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for stopping by this evening. This evening's program will be an informal roundtable discussing what is going on in the ham world, and in particular, what you are doing currently in your ham operation. We have a number of hams that said they would be joining us this evening, and their subjects range all over the map, such areas as QRP operation, digital operation, contesting, home brewing, thinking outside the box, and more. So stay tuned and please join us. So to get the program started, I'll call on some of those folks that I see are connected, and we'll take the round table from there. This is KY6V in South Cars. Let's start off with Mr. Pennsylvania, if you're handy to the microphone. Fred, good evening. Nice to have you here with us tonight. What's going on in your neck of the woods? Over.
Very good. This is Fred, K2HA in the great state of Pennsylvania in Broomall, which is just about 10 miles outside of Philadelphia. Well, what's going on here is I have a new antenna, which is called the Mystery Antenna, and it is kind of unique. It has a capacitive section built into a dipole, and it's fed with a 450-ohm ladder line, which is approximately 31 feet 10 inches long, and then connected to coax. The antenna is doing fairly well for me. I am, let me reset here for a second. I was just looking at the specifications for the original article on the antenna, which was by W5GI. It's called the W5GI Mystery Antenna. And what it has up in the dipole section is a center insulator, and then 16 feet 6 inches of wire connected to a coax, which is 16.6, and then a wire on the other side for 16.6, and it's the matching on both sides of the antenna. And the coax is open toward the insulator, the center insulator, and it is connected together on the far end. So the shield and is connected to the last section of wire. Comes out to a little less than 100 feet long. And the original article says his highest SWR on all the bands from 50 meters down to 80, six meters down to 80, the highest just about 2.5. On 10 he had 5.2. But other than that, everything was just about under 2. Just about. And my performance is not that good, possibly because I have trees touching both ends of the line. Let me reset slowly. And the connections that I have had so far have been fairly well. I've been able to get into California, Florida, Midwest, and Romania, over to Italy, and it's working fairly well for me. I haven't tried Africa yet, but I will be looking for that. Okay, this is Fred, K2HA, and I am pleased with my antenna. Okay, back to KY6V.
Well, thanks, Fred. Well, if you're pleased, we're pleased. How about that? A couple of quick things here. May I ask, first of all, how high you currently have the 100 feet strung out? How high above ground? And I want to thank you for sending me the specs, which I enjoyed going through here the other day, on that mystery antenna. The similarity to the G5RV of that mystery antenna leads me to make this thought, or plant this thought with you, that I have had some extraordinary good luck using the G5RVs by taking the coax off at the end of that open wire feeder and running the feeder directly to an external tuner. It just seemed to be day and night in the operation. So that's something you might want to play with if you have an external tuner sometime. See what it does for you. How high is the antenna, Fred? Over.
Okay, very good, Gordon. Yes, your suggestion was also in the in QST about last month or the month before that, in the I think Hints and Kinks and something like that, in the antenna section. And I was thinking of that, and so I might start playing around and ditch the coax and go with a straight ladder line. That is a great thought. And the article in QST said that gentlemen, it solved all the problems that they had with it. Okay, it is approximately 30 feet in the sky, and it's starts in my front yard, goes to a tree on the side of the house, and then to one further back, actually my neighbor's tree, and it's at an angle, it's not straight. But it's the best I could do at the moment, and it gave me the closest entrance into the shack. So I find it a lot of fun to play with, but I did have a thought. Let me reset. Since I have two of these antennas, I have an old one, which I'm starting to test out. I was wondering what would happen if I extended the antenna length at the end. You know, the capacitive section's in there. That wouldn't change. But just extending the antenna, I was wondering if it would go down to 160. Just a thought. Okay, back to you. This is Fred, K2HA, over to KY6V.
Well, that's an interesting thought. That's quite an extension. You know, if you're looking at normal lengths, 75 to 80 is 120 feet. And you've got 240 feet overall to get to 160. But in that article that I sent you, Fred, relative to the write-up on the G5RB, that particular article producer, I guess is the way I'll call him, indicated that he runs his on 160 also, but he uses a coil and capacitor tuning device in order to do it, and N feeds the antenna in some manner. But that's all in the write-up that you have. Okay, before we move on to a new subject, is there anybody out there that would like to check in, say good evening, number one, and specifically ask Fred any questions? KY6V, over.
KD8OAH, just saying hello to everybody. I am the neighbor of David Peters, and just checking in, saying hello to everybody, and I'll just wait my time. Back to KY6V.
Okay, Mike, jotting everything down here. Nice to have you aboard and a neighbor of David's. Boy, are you in trouble. He's a good man. I'm very pleased to hear that, sir. All right, you stand by and we'll get you mixed in with the round table, and very nice to have you aboard here tonight, Michael. And I want to get make sure I've got your full call, KD8, OAH. Got it. All right. This is SouthCars. This is the monthly TIN. My name is Gordon. Calls KY6V. We're going to move on this informal roundtable. We're talking about what's new in your ham shack and what projects you may be having going. And I heard Roger in there a little earlier, so Chief, if you don't mind, I'm going to push it in your direction and find out what's happening with you. Have you repainted the goat locker and hung more antennas on it and all that kind of stuff? W4RFJ from KY6V.
KY6V in the group, this is W4RFJ. I apologize for any background noise. We got fans going strong here in the Admiral's living room. I've got several projects going on, but what else is new? Actually going to be moving my Wyndham from the house out to the campground so I can get some horizontal business and get up onto 80 meters. I'm working on mounting a display to my controller, the digital controller that I have connected to a Raspberry Pi that will be used for the Goat Locker's repeater system. And I got so many projects I can't even remember to list them all. But it's pretty neat. I found a little OLED display that works quite well with the Pi Star. And I've been dabbling quite a bit into D-Star and Fusion and all that happy stuff. Oh, and I also got a programmer set up that will run the DOS software with a Raspberry Pi. So I'd be glad to describe that if you're interested. What do you think there, Captain? W4RFJ, and greetings to my South Cars family.
Boy, that sounds like a bucketful, but good for you. W4RFJ, KY6V, and the TIN. Well, okay, yeah, why don't you hold on to that, and we'll pick it up on this, the second round or so with the roundtable, if that's okay with you. You say you're moving the Wyndham from the house out to the Goat Locker location. How are you going to spread it? Do you have trees and that kind of stuff available out there? Over.
Yeah, actually, they've got some telephone poles up right along the line of where campers go, and I've got another ham friend that keeps his camper out there, and he's got a, I think he's got a G5 RV or something up for 80 through 10, hanging in some trees, and he might even bring his little tennis ball launcher to help me get it up into the trees real high. We're actually right underneath a really large tree, so it should work out pretty well. But anyway, yeah, it's, I think it'll be a fairly easy thing to do. I'm hoping to get it done before field day starts, but hey, it might have to wait till July 4th week when Charlotte and I will be spending the week out there and just relaxing and having fun. Back over to you, Gordon, W4RF.
Yeah, okay, on July the 4th. You going to participate in field day this year, or are you going to be AOL or something?
Oh, I'll be in there. I probably won't be in there all night, but definitely going to be there from the Goat Locker out at the campground. I'm really don't feel like going anywhere this year, but rest assured, we'll be using my Elmer WB4 WPF, the club call, the Wrecking Cruise call sign. So if you hear that call, you'll know it's me. Over.
Okay. Well, I made a note of that. I'll keep my ears open for the call. Thanks, Raj. Guys and gals, anybody who would like to check in at this point, we'd love to have you. Any questions of Roger or of Fred who have been up here before you, now is the time. Let us know what's happening in your world. KY6V, over.
Kilowatt Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray.
There he is, Bernie. Good evening, Tiger. How's everything in the great state of Wisconsin? KY6V, over.
Okay, Gordon, KY6V, K9WDX. First of all, I'd like to say at the beginning of the night, it was a little bit strange, weird, or interesting. I was hearing both you, Gordon, and Fred at the same time. It was jumping back and forth between you two. Heard part of Fred's explanation of his antenna, then I heard you telling him to go ahead, and it was jumping back and forth. It was like the two audio streams were mixed together or something like that. So it seems to have straightened out since then, though. Not much really going on here, although last Friday I did take my Sinclair duplexer, which I replaced the rods, the tuning rods in there. Someone has cut them off for some reason, and I replaced them, but it won't tune at all, so I decided to get rid of that, and I had another used one that was a homebrew one made from a copper pipe, and that was taken from an old QST magazine article, probably from, I don't know, maybe June of 72 or something like that, I don't know, I'm just taking a guess at that, but you did a search online, you probably would find that article posted online. But neither one of those duplexes worked. That domain one I got for free. Maybe that's why I got it for free. I don't know. But maybe he stopped working on the guy. And so I decided I'll just take my income tax refund next February or March and order a brand new one. Then I know it's going to work and not buy another used one. So that's what I plan on doing. And that's hopefully something I'll get going. Project, you know, reset. Okay, hopefully long enough to let repeater carriers drop. I set mine to a short value because of using on the Echo Lake. I set mine to 1 second. Any shorter than that, then a person might key up and not think they're getting into the repeater, but any longer than, like, say, 1200 milliseconds or a second and a half or something, then I figure that's, you know, too long. It's like, I set mine to 1 second on my repeater. I don't know if that's long enough or not, but I figure that's probably where it's going to work out. If you lose 7 or 8 seconds or whatever of my audio while I'm talking, it just means that my repeater ID, I got it set up for the voice ID now, and it cuts off any audio that's going into the repeater. So that's good in the sense that it won't go over Echolink, which it didn't before on its own, but when I had it on CW ID, but it would go through if I was talking at the time that it ID, then you'd hear it in the background. But now you just hear silence. It'll cut my audio off, and it'll cut your audio off, too, when it IDs. So that's about it from here for now. Like I said, I plan on getting a repeater online now sometime next year. I was hoping to get it online this year from other than my apartment. There's two mobile antennas. I got to get a duplexer and get it out at the hospital and get some better range here. So maybe you'll pick up some extra check-ins from my station here, because I don't get very much range with two mobile antennas indoors in a second-floor apartment. Back to you there, Gordon. KY6V, this is Echo 2195, Kilo Alpha 9 with Sea Delta X-ray.
Okay, Bernie, very good, sir. KY6V here for South Cars in the monthly TIN. Well, you know, I've had a lot of exposure to duplexers and repeaters and so on and so forth. Sinclair is a good name, and they make a good project product, so not sure what the difficulty is with that. Is that, may I ask, is that a 40 or a 440, a duplex, or 2 meters, or what are you dealing with, Bernie, over?
KY6C, KNIWDX. Well, it was a 2 meter one. I bought it from a guy in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It was the Q2330E as an Echo, Quebec 2330 Echo for 2 meters. And what the problem was, somebody had cut the tuning rods and made them shorter. They cut off about 4 inches, so it only tuned down to 149 megahertz. So I tried adding on to it, but maybe it's that special metal that they use. I don't know what they call it, not Ivalar, but some sort of special name to it, a special metal. And I tried to use the rod that you get at the hardware store, so maybe that's the problem. I don't know. But Sinclair wanted $60 per rod, and that'd be $360. I didn't know if I wanted to spend that much more. I'd already spent $695 on it, although it's a $1,900 duplexer when new. But that was the problem. Somebody had cut the tuning rods, made them shorter. Maybe they didn't have room in their installation. Maybe they had to cut the tuning rods shorter to make the duplexer fit or something. Unless they thought, wow, we don't need to have this extra sticking out. I don't know. But anyway, that was what the problem was. So maybe it would have worked good otherwise if somebody didn't cut the tuning rods off. I have a 440 duplexer and a 440 repeater, actually. I'm trying to think of the brand name of that, but that I got with my other repeater. So that I got a 440 one as long as I get the cables reconnected for that. So back to you there, KY6DK9WDX.
Okay, very good, Bernie. Well, good luck on that project. I'm very interested in how that turns out for you. My first thought is take a good close look at the connections of that rod and the plunger apparatus to make sure that that's all working normally and you don't have a connection problem with the modified rods that you put in there. Okay, very good. Well, let's move the program on here, guys and gals. Again, my name's Gordon, calls KY6V. I'm down here in South Florida. We had one heck of a storm stick its ugly head into our neck of the woods here just a little while ago. And I'll tell you one thing, that when you see the lightning, and at that same instant that you see the lightning, you hear the thunder, you know it's trouble with a capital T. And we had two or three of those. It was, no damage to the house or anything outside that I know of, but I might find some pieces when I walk out tomorrow. Who knows? All right, this is KY6V. I'm going to move it over to NO70 if you're standing at ready there, George. What's new in your neck of the woods, Mr. Raspberry Pi? KY6V, over.
KY6V and the South Cars June TIN of 2018, NO70. Well, thank you, Gordon. Yes, I've been asked to speak on whether Raspberry Pi is digestible. Now, I will be happy to cover that topic. However, you just threw me a curve when you mentioned, Gordon, the storm that is knocking on your front door. Now, network, I have to let you in on a little secret here. I heard Gordon talk about how close those thunderstorm strikes were and how quickly the thunder boom came in. Well, you may, at your convenience, want to also ask Gordon about the discharge inside one of the transmitter buildings back when he was working that threw him across the room and on his butt up against the wall on the other side. Okay, well, now that I got myself in trouble, as usual, thanks for the invitation, Gordon, to be here and join you and Kathy and South Cars and the South Cars family for the TIN and to talk about, is a Raspberry Pi digestible? Well, if a Raspberry Pi is missing an E on the end of it, spell Raspberry Pi, P-I, well, Pi is represents an irrational number, right, of 3.14, in mathematics. So that must mean, then, that a small bore computer is actually rational, right? So therefore, we want you to get your slice of refrigerated Raspberry Pi right now, and let's find out whether the Raspberry Pi without the E is digestible. Let me reset. Now, I'm going to take a guess here and say that it is my opinion that a Raspberry Pi computer is digestible because with the money that you can save from using a Raspberry Pi computer, you can buy a lot of groceries, and I mean a lot. Therefore, a Raspberry Pi must be as edible as a round, crispy crust Raspberry Pi with an E. I mean, for an example, and I'm going to give you some figures tonight, so pull out your piece of paper and start totaling up some numbers I'll be giving you. You can even have a Raspberry Pi email you a weekly grocery list automatically using the free Python language that is included. That is a savings of a programming language of anywhere from $600 to $2,000, depending upon your value of the your view of the value of the software package. So with that amount of money for groceries that you save, you don't need a smart refrigerator now. You can just use a plain old refrigerator, save all the money for buying a smart refrigerator that keeps track of your refrigerator inventory, and save about $1,700. That's your first number to write down. Let me reset. Now, before I continue, I want to, we're talking about tasty GPIO pins, and there is a reason why I say that. Let me ask if anyone else is using any type of internet of everyday things in their home. You know, are you using any type of everyday IoT devices in your home? If so, please call now. This is NO70.
Well, I'll make a comment here real quick, George. It looks like I've got it. I'm scared to do that. I'm afraid it would monitor all my activities and send it back to the manufacturer. Over.
Oh, that's a very good point, and I'm going to talk about identity theft prevention in a couple minutes down here. Yes, well, what Gordon's referring to a well-publicized news story that if you entrust your privacy to unknown third parties instead of doing it yourself, then be prepared. And that can cost you some money. That's called identity theft, which is obviously a huge market. You may even have seen the article recently that talked about the theft of all the government employee personnel records dating back, you know, to the 50s, and they were stored on a computer system that was in an eastern state, won't say where. And I just saw an article today that said they found a lady who had made use of that information, and she pled guilty and was jailed today. So, you know, you never know where your computer stuff will be. And I guess I'm especially sensitive to it because I have government personnel records from my time working for Uncle Sam in that batch of records. So be careful, and let's talk about how you can protect and save some money, even using a Raspberry Pi, to protect your own interests. All right, so let me continue, and I see KC5DHO made a very good comment about the article making the hair on his arms stand up. I can understand that. Let me read that. Okay, so now we heard Chief W4FJ mention a minute ago about some of his Raspberry Pi efforts, and I heard from him right before the net that he just bought a breadboard and a cable adapter. Now, on the Raspberry Pi, there are 40 little vertical pins that you can plug a lead over and then use those pins to control things and read sensors and so forth. A Raspberry Pi candy store, I guess I should say, calls those tasty GPIO pins because you can do so many tasty little things with the voltages and digital signals out of those pins. I mean, we're all hams, right? Sometimes a ham just has to try plugging a wire in just to see what happens and how big the spark is when you do it. Otherwise, how are we learning things about our hobby? Let me reset. Oh, okay, somebody's talking about the lightning. Okay, so, yeah, the lightning will also make your hand. That was in the text box for those that are listening to the podcast. Yeah, definitely a lot of risk with that as well. Just glad everyone is okay so for, tonight. Keep it that way, please. Now, talking about the breadboard configuration, when you are going to be trying to use those GPIO pins, sometimes it's a little bit easier because of how small they are if you use a breadboard over to the side. And I'm sure we've all breadboarded things. But one of the questions that came up for me early on was, once you have a breadboard, how are the holes connected to each other? Do you have to wire them together? Do you have to wire them underneath yourself to get them all connected together? How is the breadboard wired? Because you don't want to be shorting out your power buses, right? So I wonder if anyone, including Chief, can mention how the breadboard connections are laid out on that little breadboard. Let me turn it over to Chief, or maybe he can call somebody that he knows has the answer, and then turn it back to here while I can continue with some other numbers for you about how to save money using Raspberry Pi. Are you still there, Chief? W4RFJ, how about breadboard wiring? NL70, over.
actually, I'm not really prepared. I mean, as far as how they're wired, it's better to use a picture. I mean, they've got pictures of how they're wired. So I apologize, but literally, you know, it's set up to put an IC chip in the middle and the lines from each of those connections spread out away from the chip, and then you've got two rows on either side that's usually used for plus and minus for whatever power buses you're going to use. That's really about all I can give you there, George.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Anyone else want to add some more to that? Please call in 070, over.
KD8OAH on that topic. I was an electrician in the Army, and basically it's just a roadmap. That's all it is. You get a diagram, and then on the underside of a board, you're just going to take your roadmap and you're going to run it through. You can start with something so simple as an Edison switchboard and light, where you can see the wires on the top and it makes sense. And then you just go from there and learn more about everything from chips, capacitors, etc. And you do it in a logical form, so that way if something does go wrong, you can do logical testing to chase the wire, as they say, to eliminate the piece that's not working. Back to, oh, I got to get my notes here, KY6V.
Actually, Michael, I'm going to pick it up. This is NL70, and thank you, Michael. Yeah, and I like the term, of course, chasing the wires. Yes, very good. Well, in the case of the breadboards available for Raspberry Pis, also another thing that you may find helpful if you choose to experiment with some of those tasty GPIO pins is that most of the breadboards of the Raspberry Pi are wired with two vertical bus strips, a negative and positive, on each of the two major sides, long sides, of the breadboard. And then in the breadboard, in the middle of the breadboard, you'll have a vertical cutout with five pins to the left and five pins to the right that are horizontal. And each of the 20 or 40 horizontal rows are all connected together, but horizontally, but they are not connected together vertically. Only the power buses are connected together vertically, but not horizontally. So it took me 2 weeks of trying to find some information, and at the time I was searching for it, I couldn't find the information anywhere. So hopefully I've saved you some time with that. Let me reset. All right, so we've talked about Raspberry Pi, GPIO tasty pins, breadboard configuration, plugging things in, seeing what happens, and seeing how big the spark is. Talk about ham radio at its best. I mean, if ham radio doesn't smell like burned carbon once in a while, we've missed out on some of the fun of our hobby. Okay, well, I'll stop right there on that comment. Let me continue on about other money-saving uses. And you can add these amounts to the one that you wrote down on your notepad earlier. And these are all uses that are actually in place in the shack here. The question, too, was what are we doing in our shacks? So I can tell you where Raspberry Pis are being used. And there are a few of them sitting around here, I have to admit, all thanks to Chief. And I'm grateful that he for his help with doing it. First of all, security camera. Savings of $450 to $900. Costs about $100 to set one up using a Raspberry Pi, including the Raspberry Pi camera. So about $100, and you consider that a security camera set up, a single camera, can cost anywhere from $500 to $1,000 based on some warehouse prices looked at recently. And you're looking at savings from anywhere $450 to $900. Let me reset. Let me reset again. I just saw something in the text box. I wanted to make sure that it was there. Okay, I'm going to be coming back. Bernie, I see you in the text box, and I think I'm going to come back to you in a couple minutes for you to elaborate on that, okay? Thank you. Now, for another purpose, I have another Raspberry Pi that is being used as an ad blocker. Now, for my job, I do a lot of media work and research, and that research can be using text, you know, on pieces of paper, or it can be radio or TV or film or digital, a lot of different media. Now, if it happens to be streaming media, oh my gosh, the amount of advertisements, you get 7 minutes of content and 10 minutes of commercials a lot. Well, the ad blocker I found will save me 10 minutes out of every 17 by not letting those commercials roll. Now, you know, I don't mind letting commercials roll, but when the amount of commercials exceeds the amount of program content, I consider that to be abusive, and then I have no problem using an ad blocker for that purpose. So let's assume that I am wasting 8 to 15 minutes per hour on excessive ads, then multiply that by an hourly rate for your time, however your time is worth where you work, and add that into your savings. Let me reset for more savings. Another way that a Raspberry Pi has been used in the shack here is having an automated email showing the CPU operating temperature of the Raspberry Pi, and that helps me keep equipment in good condition, because if the operating temperature of the Raspberry Pi is climbing, then the same would be true of the other AV media and desktop and computer equipment that are not Raspberry Pi in the same part. And that's in terms of savings of insurance premiums as well as the risk and so forth, is an easy $3,000 to $5,000 savings there. Along with that, it can give me an automated email showing room temperature and humidity, which can alert me to a problem at home while at work, a fire danger, air conditioner going out, power failure. And in case of a power failure, let me reset. Can save a lot of money on gas and wear and tear in your car, because if you had a power failure and the Raspberry Pi emailed it to you, guess what? You can stop by on the way home and not burn extra gasoline or wear and tear in your car. And here in the crowded Northeast Corridor between Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., technical Northern Virginia, that can be 2 to 3 hours of commute time with a lot of wear and tear. So I'm estimated savings for monthly monitoring fees of $45 to $90 per month. That's another savings. Then there are even more to come. Let me reset. Another purpose that I'm using a Raspberry Pi for is an automated email of links used each morning to check on business and personal affairs. With the identity theft risk nowadays that we all share, I check my bank accounts every morning just to look for anything there. Now, if I had to go chasing URLs for all the different websites I visit in the morning or at night, it can be very time-consuming. By having them all as hyperlinks in one email, it saves me easily 20 to 40 minutes per day. So now multiply that by your hourly rate, and you get another savings. Let me reset. All right, this is South Cars TIN, June, about technical topics and shacks and so forth, and I'm dealing with Raspberry Pi. Another savings here in the shack here is media and records storage, personal and business records. Of course, we all have safe deposit boxes, but sometimes they can be awkward to get to. Do you really want to be putting that information up on a cloud somewhere, or do you want to keep it closer where you have control over it? Well, you can have a Raspberry Pi media server that will allow you to store it, and then either on a USB stick or a USB hard drive, and you're in good shape. Also, you can save about $500 in terms of buying a Game Boy game player, and people say that that helps with brain training and alertness and awareness, is if you have some type of a game device, and Chief just mentioned that. And finally, let me reset. A big savings is if you learn the Python programming language that comes with the Raspberry Pi, you are gaining an important money-making skill that is very marketable in today's IT careers. The value, a minimum of $100,000 a year. So for me, I calculate that I probably have at least $106,800 in savings using a Raspberry Pi. Well, is a Raspberry Pi digestible? I can buy a lot of groceries for that amount. I believe it was Bernie that I said, yes, that was the question. Bernie, KA9WDX, regarding your text box posting, asking about whether you're wondering a Raspberry Pi or Pi 3 at a repeater site for Echolink and so forth, and I may need to have Gordon set with this. Bernie, let me have you express your question, KA9DWX on the South Coast TIN, NO70. Over to you, Bernie.
NO70K9WTX. Well, it was just kind of a general type of question there, George. I just was wondering if setting it up at the repeater site would be better, or would it be better to just have it at a separate site, like at my house here or something, or my apartment. I just wonder how that would work. And at the hospital, they do have free Wi-Fi, although they do have some sites blocked, but I think that's mostly social sites that they have blocked. I don't know if the Echolink would work there or not, but they do have free Wi-Fi there, so I might not have to even pay for internet access. I don't know for sure, but otherwise I could put my mobile hotspot out there too. But I just was trying to think, would it be better to put something there or leave it here? Do we have more control over it here? Especially like for looking at the screen or something, or outgoing connections, or maybe I should have both. Maybe I should have one at the repeater site and have it set up for multiple incoming connections so that people can talk on a repeater, come into it, and then have something here at home for outgoing connections, for nets and stuff like that. Arc welder? Okay, maybe I should use my other transceiver. It probably wouldn't give so much noise on there if that's what's happening. NO70,
K9WDX. K9WDX and the South Cars TIN, June 2018, NO70. Well, that's a good question, Bernie. Thank you for answering that. And I do need to leave time for others to check in on this. So, but let me welcome VK2FTL, who's joined the conference here. And let's take any check-ins, and then Bernie, I'm going to turn it over to Gordon for his thoughts. My thought is you probably want to keep the Raspberry Pi closer and not at a repeater site away from you, simply because with the Raspberry Pi, it is one that might, if power is abruptly terminated to it, could corrupt the SD card. They say that in the documentation, but you know what? With all the changes and improvements they've made to it, I've never had it happen in the past year and a half. So I don't know that that's such a big thing, but you know, the Raspberry Pi, it's a $35 computer. So how close do you want to have it? All right, well, let me, Bernie, I'm going to ask for check-ins right quick so we welcome everyone to South Cars. And then turn it over to Gordon, who has worked a lot with Echolink and so forth, for his thoughts. And Chief may also have some others or others on the net. Are there any people who would like to check in to the South Cars TIN tonight? Please do call now, and then we'll continue with a call over to Gordon. Please call now with your check-ins for the TIN, NO70.
Victor KY2, Fox Tango Lima Juliet.
VK2, Fox Tango Juliet, NO70. Well, good evening and welcome, sir, and thank you for being here tonight. And I hope that you can stay with us and tell us more about what's happening in your shack. But let's take care of the traffic that came up first. And KY6V, could you please fill us in with any comments you might have regarding Bernie's question? Over to you, NO70.
Okay. Well, thank you, George. KY6V here. Going to have to move the program on here a little bit, though. We've got people in standing by for action on their own. Bernie, I can just simply tell you, I've done an awful lot of repeater work through the years and an awful lot of interfacing with computer equipment. And it's been my experience, and I'm going to stick with it at least at this point, that it is a lot better for a number of reasons to have the computer interface at the repeater site. It solves a lot of problems. You can make direct connections. You're keying of the facility is a lot easier. You don't have to get around with trying to force your way around the local repeater controller and so on and so forth. So I'm just simply going to say that that would be my recommendation. George, with your permission, I'm going to roll this on because we've got a handful of people still waiting. Is that okay, sir? Over.
Absolutely. I was all done. I just want to make sure that I honored Bernie's question and request. Thank you, Gordon, and thanks to everyone for listening. Hopefully I've encouraged you to pull out the soldering gun or the leads and enjoy your hobby more. Thank you, and 7-3 to everyone. KY6V, and 7-0, back to you.
Okay, very good. Well, I want to be turning it over here to Paul shortly. So, Mr. Danbury, if you're still with us and standing tall, please stand up on ready. And Robert, VK2DY, you'll be following SEZ. And then we've got a couple of more still beyond that point. I want to recognize VK2FTJ. Good evening, sir. My name is Gordon. My call is Kilo Yankee 6 Victor, KY6V, and I'm the net control this evening for this TIN program. Nice to have you. I assume that you may know and probably Robert, who will be coming up shortly, and that's VK2DY. KY6V, your name and location, sir? Over.
Sorry, I was typing. I have a four-letter prefix. It's VK2 Fox Tango Lima Juliet. Four letters. You guys aren't used to that. The name here is Tony, Tango Oscar November Yankee. My locality is Orange, Central New South Wales. I'm about 300 kilometres west of Sydney, at 1,100 metres above sea level elevation. This morning we woke up to minus 2 C. Huge frost, everything was white. It's winter here, so we used to have a large frost, very cold. At the moment it's 7 degrees C. Got the ducted gas heating in the house going. I'm a bit lazy. I don't want to go out and get some wood and light the wood fire at the moment, but I will get into it eventually. Not long sort of started the day's proceedings. I slept in. The wife went to work and I was still asleep. Not working at the moment. I was asleep on the bed with the puppy, and the wife went to bed, and when I woke up, the puppy and I sort of looked at each other and said, it's time to get up. And the wife left me a little note on the bedside table, sleepy heads, do some work. So I'm up doing all the washing now. I'm about to clean the house in a minute, shortly. I'll get around to that. You know what us hams are like, we get around to things eventually, over.
Well, you know, everything's great sounding, Tony. Nice making your acquaintance, number one. Except your current temperature of minus 2 or 2 degrees, anyway. you know, we're cross-populated or polarized or something, we being up in the north and you being down in the south. We're going into summer and you're going into winter. But we had 94 degrees Fahrenheit as our top temperature here today in South Florida. I'm on the east coast of the United States. and we had a heat index of about 104. It was really a pleasant day most of the day, but then the rains came in and the thunder and lightning and so on here earlier this evening. So, Tony, thank you. Pleasure having you aboard, and it's a pleasure having the HAMS conference server aboard, and that's thanks to Robert. Guys and gals, I'm going to move the program on here. Let me pick up Paul before he goes to sleep on me. Paul, what's new up there? You still working QRP? Are you still having fun? Do you still recommend it? W1SEZ, or N1SEZ. I got it right. KY6V, over.
KY6V, November 1, Sierra Echo Zulu here in the wonderful little town of Danbury, Connecticut. Oh, I'm such a liar. But, yeah, Gordon, I've been off the air for quite a while on HF. And, in fact, the last time I was on was on a net that we were doing on Halloween. I don't even know how many years ago that was. And I was in the middle of telling a ghost story on this particular net. And we were in the middle of a snowstorm up here, and the antenna came down, and I never even finished the story. And that was the last time I operated HF from this location. So there you go. And a couple years later, I ended up selling my HF rig and everything else, and yada, yada, yada. So just recently, with my darling Kathleen residing in Florida, and me having some time on my hands where I should be working on my house or maybe even playing my piano, instead I decided, you know, I think I'd like to operate some HF CW. Let me drop it. Always wary of those purple crystals. I bought myself a QRP rig. It was an Elecraft K1. And I threw up an antenna, actually on a fiberglass pole. It was a doublet. It's up about 30 feet. And played around with it a little bit, and I quickly discovered, this is what a nice little radio this thing is. It only had two bands. It was only CW. And even though I mostly operate only CW, I do like at times listening on sideband and maybe making an occasional contact. And I was enjoying myself so much, I decided, well, you know, I guess I'm going to get myself an all-band QRP rig and all mode. So I did just that. And the thought in mind, let me drop it. This time I really did think it through. And I knew that the house in Florida is not like here in New England. I don't have tall trees everywhere to throw antennas up. And I don't have as many options. So what I'm really interested in doing is portable ops. Occasionally be able to throw everything into a bag, head out to the park, do some contacts, and then go home. And that's the way my station is being configured at the moment. So right now it works. I've got a KX3, Elecraft KX3. It's a beautiful radio. It'll run 15 watts single sideband, 10 watts CW. I run it off of a battery, and I can take it out portable, which I have not yet done. And I've just been enjoying myself immensely. With the bad band conditions, QRP is and not a great antenna, QRP is not for the faint of heart. But I've been having a great time with it, I've got to say. CW is the greatest mode known to man. You can make contacts on CW when nothing else is working. All due respect to some of the digital modes, that to me, when I look at them, they just look like machines talking to each other. So, but that's my soapbox. Let me drop it again. So I've been enjoying myself immensely, and a lot of the things that the people I make contacts with on 40 meters in the evening are guys who are members of the SKCC club, and they first of all, that's SK is a straight key. And I'm an iambic paddle guy, so I dusted off my old straight key and I make contacts with these people. I was glad to find out that I had actually joined the SKCC back in like 1995 or something like that. So I have a pretty low number, which everybody likes getting a hold of. So I've been enjoying that, but let me drop it once more. And so one of the things that I noticed is, A, I'm not really very good on a hand key, and B, I get very tired of it very quickly. Just the up and down motion, I don't feel like practicing so much that I make the muscle stronger. So I've actually, not even realizing this is starting to turn into a lot of money, I actually ended up purchasing a bug to use, because that's legal on the SKCC, as it's a mechanical device and not an electronic keyer. And I found this really cool bug, Gordon. It's called the KN4YB bug, named after its creator, of course. And it's a right-angled bug. So it sits sideways when you look at it. And it just came today. I haven't had a chance to use it yet. But it also has facilities that allow it to be used at more reasonable speeds than most of the other bugs, which if you're not doing 25 to 30 words a minute, they don't really send quite as well. This thing will work beautifully at 15 to 20, which is where I'm comfortable. So I'm looking forward to getting to play with that, too. So all that's going on. Made a lot of contacts. Had one in Mexico. I heard somebody in there from Paris the other day, but he didn't hear me, which does not surprise me. Let me drop it. The KX3 has a great DSP on it and a fantastic preamp, and took me a little bit to discover that the only reason I was able to even hear this guy from Paris was that the preamp was pulling him in, and the noise reduction was knocking down the noise. And when I turned that stuff off, I could barely hear him, and he was running high power, so it made sense why he wasn't hearing me at all. So that's the scoop. Working towards getting this station set up to be run here at home and to be able to take it on the road. The only thing, other thing I'm considering at some point, though not anytime soon, is a magnetic loop. To be able to actually run an antenna inside the house, during hurricanes and things like that. So that might be fun to play around with, too. But that's that, Gordon, and I'll send it back to you. November 1, Sierra Echo Zulu for the South Cars, TIN, back to KY6V. And thank you for having me.
No. Thank you for being here, sir. Very good, Paul. KY6V for South Cars TIN. A couple of quick questions. Did you have any trouble, or did you say this is brand spanking new and maybe you haven't played with it yet? If you've used a keyer for a long time, which I think you have, to go to a bug takes a little time of getting acclimated. And the same story goes the other way around. If you've used a Vibraplex or a speed key of that nature for a long time, it's hard to get into the swing of a keyer. So you can pounce on that for a moment if you would. And the other question is, what's your battery life on the QRP stuff? Can you run 5 or 6 hours, or do you have to take a spare battery or what? Go ahead, Paul.
Gordon, I can run pretty much all day with this fairly reasonably sized LiPo battery, lithium phosphate battery from this really cool company, BioNO, I believe. They make a really nice product at fairly reasonable prices. They have good customer service. And I think I'm not sure on the units, but I think it's a 9 amp hours at 12 volts. And when I'm running like 5 watts, this radio draws very little. I mean, it's ridiculous how little power it takes to receive on this thing. and running 5 watts, it's maybe 4 times the resting amperage that it uses when you're on transmit. So, yeah, I've used this one battery pretty much all day long, actually for a couple days in a row, because I'm never, you know, on the air or listening literally all day long, but for hours of the day on the weekends that time. And and I have since bought two smaller versions for being able to throw in the bag and take with the radio somewhere. Not that the one that I've got is huge, but for just, you know, wanting to go out for an afternoon with it or something like that, I got something that's now half the size of that and still will run several hours.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Any comments on switching horses in midstream on your keyers and bugs and so on?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I tend to forget things now, and it ain't getting any better as I get older, I'll tell you that. And Kathy, don't worry. You're going to have a birthday check-in one of these days. I got a birthday in 2 weeks, so... I will admit to it. But yeah, Gordon, no, I just got the thing today. I haven't even set it up yet. But yeah, it's going to be different. And I am dyed in the wool, as they say. Iambic paddle guy. Basically how I started with CW and been doing it for quite a number, 23 years now? I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. 23 years or so, and it's going to be an adjustment. As you know, I had a bug before, a Vibroflux, and I played around a little bit with it, but the issue there was not the keying technique so much as just the thing was just so darn fast. And for some reason, I have myself convinced that it's going to be different this time with this one. We will see. It's a beautiful piece of machinery anyway. You should look it up. Just Google it, and you'll be able to see. It's a KN4YB bug, and you can see pictures of it and the way it's laid out, and probably some videos that you could even find, too. So, but, you know, it's a bug. And an iambic here is, except for the part where you squeeze both paddles and you get the da-da-da-da-da's going by itself, it's pretty close. You know, you got the dits on one paddle and you got the da's on the other, and you get to choose how long your da's are. So I got a feeling I'm not going to have a problem with it. At least that's what I keep telling myself. N1 SEZ.
Well, tell me how it turns out when it turns out. Yeah, I wrote that bug call and what have you down. I'll look that up. Is that YD, D as in Delta, or B as in Bravo? Over.
Yeah, that is 4 Yankee Bravo. Kilo Knight. That's N. Kilo N 4 Yankee Bravo bug. I'll put it in the text box, too.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'm glad I asked, because I had it as a D as Delta instead of a B as Bravo. Okay. Any questions from the audience here on the transmissions out of Paul in Danbury, Connecticut? And if not, we'll move the program on down back to Australia. Any check-ins at this point, please, from KY6V? Okay, thanks, Paul. VK2DY, hope you're still there. Let's see, what time is it? It's 8:14 here in the States. So that would be 8 o'clock in the morning plus a couple hours, I guess. 8, 9, to what is it, about 10 o'clock or 11, something like that, Robert? And I'm sitting back. I want to hear about your new Android cell dongle. KY6V, over.
Gordon, that is truly an amazing thing. I just got back onto the internet just about 10 seconds ago and caught enough to realize that you're talking about me. Yeah, it's going on 11 o'clock here, between 10 and 11 o'clock. And it is longer the shortest day. Yesterday was the shortest day. Clear sky, about 15 degrees Celsius. Okay, so what I have, all the digital codecs, C4FM, all the digital modes, C4FM, D-Star, and DMR are all obviously the AMBI codec. So it's one codec for all three modes. So I bought a stick for $119 from Northwest Digital. It was originally created to be a D-Star stick. That was originally supposed to be, you stuck this in your computer, and you you were able to talk on your computer on D-Star. Well, somebody invented a new system where they, well, let me reset for a second. So this fellow in the Netherlands invented a system where you could actually use that on other, the other modes as well. So they moved to DMR. And then they added another feature where you put the ThumbDV drive in your Windows computer, ran this piece of software called AMBI Server, and then you could use your mobile phone, which is connected to the internet, to connect to your computer to use the AMBI chip. I'm having a hard time explaining this. To actually talk on D-Star and DMR. So basically, you have an Android app that allows you to speak on D-Star and DMR, and hopefully soon C4FM System Fusion. It works beautifully as long as you can use it away from the house. I've used it as far as, I think, a couple hundred kilometers. As long as you have internet connection and as long as you have the IP address for your house entered into the program, you can use it from remotely, you can use it internally. It just is an amazing thing. And that's it. And some phones now, they've rewritten the software. Let me say it again. They've written the software now where there are probably, depending on how your phone is designed, probably about half the phones will now be, you'll be able to just take a USB cable, stick it into your phone, stick this thumb DV into that USB cable, and use it directly. My phone doesn't support it, but a number of phones do. So it just depends how the USB is designed in your phone. I hope that was not too quick and that people understood that, VK2DY.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Robert. KY6V here. Let me see if I've got this, my understanding is correct. So the dongle that gives you these cross platforms is plugged into your, let's say, your main computer at the house. Your cell phone is talking to that computer, and when it talks to that computer, it can utilize the options available from the dongle. And if all of that is correct in my understanding, you are talking from the cell phone to the computer via Bluetooth or something of that nature. How does that work, Robert? Over.
Yeah, VK2DY. Okay, well, you put the ThumbDV in your Windows computer. You run a piece of software called AMBI Server, and that piece of software is the piece that connects with the BlueDV software on the Android phone. So these two pieces of software were written by one person and designed to work together. The only thing you have to do is enter the IP address of your main machine into your phone. Now, if you're at home, that's simple. If you're outside of the home, then you have to use the IP address, obviously, that's assigned to you by your ISP, and then you have to do the additional step of routing a port, actually it's two ports, to through the router. So you have to do a port map, but that's a simple thing to do, and most people know how to do that, I think. And it's explained on the web page anyway, as to how to do that. But if you're internal to your network, then you can just enter the IP address of your Windows machine that has the MB server running on it, BK2DY.
Okay, I think I'm with you 100%. Now let me take this just a step further. You said that some cell phones that will support the right USB configuration, you can plug a cable into your cell phone and plug this dongle into the end of the cable. Therefore, using, if I'm reading you correctly, you're using the dongle alone with the cell phone and you don't need the Windows machine. Is that right? Over.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are people out there using it right now as a dongle on your cell phone. And the only reason you have to have this dongle is because of the fact that the AMBI server, the AMBI codec is so heavily copyrighted that you have to have it on a chip. That's the only way to afford it. So they figured out a way to read that chip through the USB port on a cell phone, BK2DY.
Fantastic. Right on. Okay, thanks for that, Robert. Anybody out there have any questions of Robert? He's standing out there in the front of the crowd, it sounds like, at the moment. If so, call now, please, KY6V.
Yeah, KY6V from John VK3HJQ, down the south end of Australia from Robert. Yeah, they should get the AMBI 3000 server chip and just shove it in the phone. That would be the easy fix. I mean, the chip's copyright, the software's copyright, but it doesn't stop it actually putting it in the phone. That would save you having the dongle and the USB chip hanging off the end of it. So surely the manufacturers should get together and fix that up. All right, back to net control from VK3HJQ.
Yeah, I hear you, Tony. Okay. Yeah, very good, sir. KY6V. Anybody else, please?
KC2GA.
Well, that's Mr. Syracuse. Go right ahead, Gary. You know, you're next up in line, so I'm going to take you two by two here in a minute. Go ahead.
Well, that figures. I was wondering, but that's it. Timing. Timing is everything, you know? I just had a quick comment on this. I pulled this up while Robert was talking, and so I've got it up there to kind of read a little bit later on. I had a really bad experience with DMR earlier, and really everything around here is pretty much all-star or you know, and it you know I wanted to play with you know, some digital voice. Some digital modes on a portable, but you know, just a bad experience all around, and so this is fascinating me. So I've certainly got enough cell phones hanging around here that we can sacrifice one and use it for some experimentation. So this is very good to know. Interesting, very very interesting. You know, beats plunking down $500 for a D-Star radio or an All-Star radio. And to play around with anyway and get your feet wet. So I'm looking forward to it. So I'll go back to Gordon and then we'll pick it up again. This is KC2GA.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get involved in that too. Sounds very, very attractive and interesting from my vantage point as well, Gary. Okay, anybody else for Robert's conversation on the dongle business? Over. Okay. Gary, you go ahead and pick it up, and when you're done, would you take a swipe at anybody that'd like to ask you any questions, and then I'll be right back. I'm going to go down the hall and turn right. But I can hear you. KY6V. Go ahead, Gary.
I've already made that trip. Thank you, Gordon. It's great to be here tonight. And Paul, it is great to hear your voice. That was a nice surprise. And hello there. Hope everything's going great for you. This is KC2GA. And, yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff happening here in the shack. As you may or may not know, for those who've been following this saga, the shack has kind of moved around the house in the past few years. And we're getting closer to the permanent location. We're still kind of in temporary quarters, but we're getting closer to the dedicated ham shack and studio downstairs. So we have had some issues with our contractor that's been doing the house, and the shack was on the list, but he's not here anymore. We're in the process of hiring somebody else, so you know how that goes. But with the little shack that we've got right now, we're doing some pretty cool stuff. So let me just buy a nickel, and I'll be right back. One of the things that I really excuse me, I really would like to play around with is 6 meters. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm weird. I'm very big into 6 meters. We have a great 6 meter net here in Syracuse. We have a lot of activity on that, and that's spawned a lot of 6 meter work in general. So I've been working a lot of FT8 on 6 meters, and the exciting thing for me is that I've got a new antenna for 6, and it's a PAR OA50. And this is just a great antenna. I've been having a ball with this thing. I've only had it in service for about a week now, but and it's not at it's only in a temporary location. We don't have it up in its proper height. It's only up about 18 feet right now. But I've been able to cover all of the United States, up into Canada, and as far south as Guatemala with this kid. And, I haven't really been trying yet. So we're hoping to get it at altitude within the next couple of weeks, and I'm really looking forward to that. So maybe we can do a follow-up net like this, and I can give you a report on that. Other things, in my never-ending quest to do things on the cheap, okay, I've been exploring coax. Bargain prices on coax. And I have found, I'm not going to give you the name because I don't want to be giving a product endorsement here, but if anybody really wants to know about this, certainly you can get a hold of me through email, and I can give you the brand name of this thing. Also, I just wanted to put that OA50 link in the OA50's in the text box now, right? I found this fake LMR 400 that's astounding. It's just astounding. It is industrial. I mean, this stuff is like killer. And I got it for half the price of the real stuff. It's made in the USA. It is absolutely beautiful. And you can, if you do a little shopping around, just do LMR 400 type on Google, and you're bound to find it. Let me buy a nickel. Or if you just want to save yourself the effort, let me know, and I'll let you know what it is. Other news. We had some conversation earlier about duplexers, and I just got rid of my duplexers. They were really kind of messing my signal up. I had a system where I was feeding two radios. I had my FTDX 1200 and a 2440 ICOM feeding into a duplexer, and I was going down one transmission line, and de-duplexing, running another duplexer on the other end to split it between the two antennas. So I had two antennas, one transmission line with two radios. It was a very nice scheme, but honestly, it was not doing my signal anything good. So I said, let's take them and we'll put them in the box for future use, And the signal definitely improved after getting rid of those. So great idea, just didn't work out. And my CHV5X has a new configuration. I have been using that in the characteristic V pattern, if you're familiar with that antenna. I set it up just on a whim in a ground plane configuration, and have had some super results with that. So a little tweak in configuration, and really it's been a good couple of months since I did that. I'm going to buy another nickel. Be right back. Other things we've been. By the way, Paul. Before I forget, I heard you mention a magnetic loop. I have used a magnetic loop for years, and it has been just excellent. I've been using an MFJ 1788. I used that thing for 7 years anyway. The motor and the antenna. It has a you send DC down the transmission line, and it. It runs the tuning motor on this thing, and the motor is shot on it. Eventually, I'm going to take this thing and repair it and get it back into service. Just had great luck with that. I'm a big believer in magnetic loops, and that is on the agenda to get repaired. And anybody who's interested in a compact antenna that really packs a good punch, check out magnetic loops, because they really have a lot going for them. Other things, I've been using an old Shure mixer, one of those old Shure PA mixers, as a peak limiter on my voice channel. It has been awesome. That's a got some great sound. I'm using, I upgraded the mic to a MXL BCD1. If you are familiar with some of the broadcast mics that are out there, the BCD1 is very RE20-like in its sound, but it's about a third of the cost, which is always a winner with me, you know. So that combination has been super. I have not been using any external EQ, just the internal stuff on the FTDX 1200, and it's just been awesome. So very, very happy with that, too. The bands, yes. Every time I check the bands, Dr. McCoy comes out and he says, they're dead, you know. So hopefully things will be picking up with that, and we can really get the real story on these antennas. But so far, the couple of really good antennas with some really lousy band conditions. But hopefully, that's gonna change up. All right, anybody want to check in right now? We'll take some check-ins and see if anybody has any comments. This is KC2GA looking for some check-ins on the TIN. Okay, quiet. So we'll send it back to KY6V. Gordon, are you there, sir?
I am. Thank you very much, sir. I got everything taken care of and walked around a little bit and got the blood circulating, and I feel pretty good. Although I will say that we are currently 34 minutes into the second hour, so we've been going an hour and 34 minutes. And the center of my anatomy, or close to the center, called the stomach, is saying, Gordon? It's time to feed me, so we're going to get to that here shortly. We've got Dave up there, and thank you very much, Gary. We've got Dave up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I want to get aboard here before we close and take one quick round around and see if anybody has any parting comments before we have the fat lady sing. I'm very pleased that I've been able to stick with things here tonight. Let me buy a nickel. We had this ferocious storm that came through here an hour or so before net, and the hour just preceding the net, I lost my internet service provider three times within the hour, and I thought, boy, is it going to be a rocky night for the net. But so far, now that I've said it, I'll probably lose it, but at any rate, it's been good so far. Okay, thank you, Gary. I'm going to throw it up to David. David, congratulations, sir, on the accomplishments and all of the awards that you have plastered all over your walls and all over the abode there. But he just received in the mail, I assume the mail, from the ARRL two DXCC certificates that I'd like to hear a little more about, and I'll bet you his buttons are popping. KB9EWG, La Crosse, Wisconsin, KY6V. Go ahead, sir. Thanks for being with us. Well, now, I hated to do that, and he's probably not going to be able to... Yeah, you just unkeyed. Before I throw it back to David here, were you trying to say something? There wasn't any audio, but you were keyed down, Gary. GA, please.
I don't think you can quite key down right now when he's unmuted. Good evening to you there, Gordon. My fellow South Guardians, and I want to give a wave of a hand down to my friend Michael, my friend and neighbor Michael down the street. Good evening. It's been a roller coaster ride of emotions with me today. You know, my dog had gotten killed on Monday, but then on Thursday, time to pop the cork and celebrate the DICCs did arrive. Didn't manage to accomplish that on compromised antennas in an apartment here, and it only took me a little bit, about a year and a half to get it done. So, very happy that that finally arrived. Matter of fact, I just, about a half hour before South Carson, worked a brand new DXCC to me, Nicaragua. So, hopefully he'll confirm, and I'm up, still out there working. And, that was both Mixed and Digital received the DXCC for. Mostly FT8 work, some GT65 before FT8 came out, and of course, you know, there's a mix of other modes and everything else in there. And recently I just also picked up a new antenna tuner about 2 months ago, so that's kind of making a difference in the shack. But continuing on my efforts to continue with my further out my DXCCs that are work, KY6V, KB9EWC.
Well, it sounds great. Gary, I'll get back to you here in just a second. I've got you unmuted and you're clear to go. I guess the question before the house here, David, is you have so many awards and you're hanging them in their majesty, all over the abode. How do you add more to the walls? How do you double stack? What's the trick? Over.
Well, my awards have spilled out from my bedroom into my living room. I've got several hanging up in the living room as well now. And that's probably where my DXCC certificates are going to hang. But I've also had to start taking down some to put up new ones there, so... But I have I have copies of every single award that I have earned in a 2-inch ring binder in protecting the privacy sleeve. So I do have every single award that I've earned on file. So if they're not up on the wall, they're at least in the ring binder. How's that there, Gordon? Back to you.
Well, I was sitting back imagining how you could do something like that. You know, you could put extension rods off the walls and create a second hanging platform for the awards, and they could be back-to-back on that second hanging platform so that you would have the wall and a person could walk between the two rows and take a look at one side and then the other. There's got to be an answer somewhere, and I'll bet you'll come up with it. Over.
Well, that's a good possibility, I guess. But I have figured out that exactly why they call those awards wallpaper. Because my shack is literally wallpapered with them. I mean, there are a couple maps in there and some other pieces of info, like my license and some other membership certificates and stuff, but there's a good amount of awards hanging up in my shack there. And like I said, most of those were earned under compromised conditions. So I guess I'm proof that it can be done. KV90WG, back to you.
Yes, sir. You sure are in that department. Okay. Thank you, David. Let me see if there was something else on Gary's mind there, or he was sitting on his microphone. And if it was the latter, I suspect that it was very uncomfortable because I think he's using a boom mic. GA, go ahead.
Usually that's Mr. Jingle's fault, but no, actually I'm not even in the shack tonight. I'm using the iMac, but it would be uncomfortable with that BCD1, I can tell you. It's not the mic you want to sit on, that's for sure. No, I had nothing going on. I'm not really sure what happened. I think what I might have been doing was I had my keyboard off to the side, and I might have been inadvertently pressing something on there and, you know, messing people up. So sorry about that. But other than that, no, all is well. Back to Casey, KY6V.
Okay, Tiger. Well, you know, you're such a prestigious person. I hated like heck to mute you. And I had to think about that twice before I did, so there. Okay, Gary. Well, guys and gals, we're just about at the end of the program. Let me take a quick sweep around the roundtable here. See if anybody has, instead of calling you out each time with your call, I'm just going to open it up for any parting comments. I want to say to Mike, welcome. Glad that you came by, and also welcome to you, Tony, from Down Under, and everybody that is participated here tonight. It's been fun for me, and I hope it was fun for you. So, anybody with any last moment points of order or contributions to the cause? KY6V, over.
KC2GA, just a very quick one.
Go ahead, Mr. Quickie.
Thank you, sir. You know, talking to Paul about that magnetic loop gave me an idea. Maybe sometime in the future we might want to do a TIN on limited space hamming, urban hamming, or limited space situations, you know, and making the best out of what you got. Back to you. This is KC2GA.
Well, you know, there's so many people getting involved with gated communities these days, and I don't know, frankly, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Any ham in his right mind that gets involved with something like that's crazy. But yeah, there's a lot of stories to be told, Gary. Let's plan something downstream. You know, load up your rain gutter, all that kind of stuff. Over.
Exactly. And I mean, there are a lot of tricks for folks with small lots. Loading up the rain gutters is a classic, of course. There's a lot of stealthy ways to do things. There's a lot of compact ways to do things. So I've certainly explored a lot of them. You know, being right in the middle of a city, and a small lot too. You know, you have to get a little creative. But it can be done. It can be done. Everything is not as easy as it is if you've got, you know, a couple of acres to fool around with. But still, you know, my solution, the solution that I found worked best for me, was that mag loop. Second to that is that CHV5X I'm using. That has been a very positive experience with that too. You know, you get some decent performance in a very small space. And, you know, there's any number of verticals, there's this, there's that. Everybody's got a, there's a lot of ideas out there for working with it. And I know a lot of people, you know, would like to work HF, you know, that they're on VHF or UHF only because they don't have, you know, any ideas, you know, to work it in a compact fashion. So might be an interesting little TIN, and yeah, let's do that in the future sometime. Back to you, sir. This is KC2GA.
Yes, sir. We'll put that on the docket and make it happen. Thank you, Gary. Anybody else? We're 46 minutes into the second hour, 47 now, and counting. Any parting remarks? Call now, please.
870.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Okay, I don't know if we had a third one in there or not. EWG N070. Was there a third party?
Yes, KD8OAH.
Okay, Mike. Very good. Let me write these down so I don't forget. OAH 7 Oscar Shimauga and EWG. I heard you first, George. Shimauga. We're missing Slav, aren't we? KY6V. Go ahead, George.
Well, it's Basiba, and thank you for the recognizing the call, KY6V and R70. And regarding that, because of our South Cars family, hoping it is a very welcoming one, and with all the visitors tonight, the reason for my asking for a moment to comment is this being Fuel Day weekend, I do want to make sure that the South Cars family knows that all of our nets will be running as normal, if I'm correct, Gordon, is that right? With the AM connection Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. The SSIN, which includes our international outreach, including to the Eastern continents, which includes Russia and Serge, Slav, Julian, and others. If you don't know Russian, that's okay. You can still come by if you want to try to pick up some Russian phonetics to give Slav a call. He would appreciate it, I'm sure. And, of course, we heard K2HA earlier tonight with his Saturday and Sunday evening ragchi. What a comfortable, comfortable time to really enjoy our hobby under the capable guidance of Fred K2HA. So hopefully you will come join what we hope is a very welcoming family here at South Cars for those that are here tonight that we haven't heard quite as often. And thank you for the time, Gordon. KY6V, NO70.
Well, thank you, George. And thank you for everything that you do for South Cars, young man. Okay, moving it on here, EWG and OAH, stand by, you'll be next. Echo Whiskey Golf, please.
Well, thank you there, Gordon, and I just wanted to echo what was being said about the restricted space, and antennas and everything else. Considering the award I just got an earning on just such a setup here. I would be more than happy to partake in a TIN for that. And as far as loading rain gutters, OAH is doing just that. He has a rain gutter loaded. He is also an apartment dweller like I am, and he's running his set loaded to a gutter on the apartment building. So, but I think that would be a great idea for TIN, would be talking about restricted antennas and operating a check there. Back to you.
Yeah, well, I've made notes here, Dave. We'll make that happen. And I know that you can contribute very heavily. You're one of the few people, if not the only person, as an example, that has a slinky antenna strung out through the interior of the apartment. Which I understand works very well, too, guys and gals. Okay, OAH. Michael, go ahead, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Well, yes, David is right. I've loaded up a rain gutter. I live in a two-story 40-plex, and it works very well. The only thing is that when you start picking up Norwegian fishing trawlers in the middle of the night or whatnot, these guys are lonely. I mean, when they start and you hear them saying, like, Lars, give me some coffee, but not with the guy with the fishy-smelling hands. It's, you know, kind of some personal stuff that goes on. Now, to George, I just made a couple of notes on his Raspberry Pi. I'm anti-Pi. I'm actually a cake eater. And I just have to say, when it comes to the refrigerator, I look in it every day. I'm a caveman. When it comes to security, I don't do any of that stuff around the house. I have a big dog, which the advantage is lots of manure for the garden. Ads. Hey, at my age, I love ads. Matter of fact, I want you to sing the national anthem twice. My bladder will really love you. As far as cooling goes, we have a solar panel with an ice bucket. Hey, enough said right there. Entertainment. And David has seen this. I have a 1920 Victrola restored. I can crank that thing up. There is no electrical. I can take it right into the wigwam at a powwow. And as far as emails go, it gets dark enough. I can go up on the bluffs and start, you know, doing by torch Morse code and that. So that's to George. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening to this. And everyone, 73s, and have a great weekend. Back to you.
Well, thank you for that, Mike. That was great. And I'm going to give you a little extra on that. I'm going to request of George, and I'll let you respond on this, George. N070, I would like you to email the miniature air conditioner data that you sent me today. I think it would find really a home spot with Michael. What do you think, George? Over.
First of all, I have to say I love Michael's alternatives. There's nothing like keeping it simple, and that sounds like a good way. And yes, I'll get, with Michael's permission, I'll get his email address from you, Gordon, and I will send him that. And the fan for that little air conditioner should probably be able to be run by a Raspberry Pi given an adequate power supply, but I wouldn't put too much else on it. A Raspberry Pi is not the best power supply, but it sure can run a few things. So yes, be happy to do that. Thank you, Gordon. And I do love the alternatives that he presented. KY6V in the group, you know, 7-0.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. I don't know that I have readily available Michael's email unless it's posted on QRZ. Are you okay on QRZ on that, Mike? Over.
Right on, yeah. I've got it on QRZ, and I'll even put it in the box right now because, you know, hey, I don't care who talks to me. As long as you type slow, I can read it. Over.
Oh, we're all slow typists. No problem there. Hey, well, I got you. I'm not going to let you get away without asking you this question. We'd love to have you as a member. We're offering actually a totally free membership here to you tonight. Doesn't cost you a secundo. We just need some basic information, and one of them is your email address, and I already see that posted, MrAOL.com. So I've got that. If you would give me the month and day of your birthday, I don't want to know the year. I don't want to know how old you are. If we have that information, we put that in our roster, which gives us a key when to say happy birthday to you and pat you on the back. Are you interested? Over.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, I tell you. I put that in the box, too. It's May 9th. Don't worry. At my age, you know, we just like to forget we were born. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that I'm becoming a curmudgeon. You know, the guy that comes over and he gives you a ride to work, but the other guy's wife comes and says, honey, your ride's here, and you notice that she's made him a nice lunch. It's in his lunchbox. You open the lunchbox and you eat his dessert, close it back up, and you don't tell anyone. So Yeah, that's where I am in my life. Okay. Right on, back to KY6V. It's KD8OAH.
All right, very good, Mike. We'll get you registered, get you a South Cars number. Kathy, who's our net manager, but also our database guru, will be sending you an email here in the next 24 to 48 hours, welcoming you and passing you on the basic information. Our website is shown on the SCARS server here, but it is SCARS, VOIP, all one word, SCARSVOIP.com. And got a lot of information in there and pictures of some of the people that you've heard tonight that are NCSs on our staff, et cetera, et cetera. So welcome, mi amigo. George, you all set with his email up there for the mini air conditioning rendezvous? Over.
Sierra Echo Zulu when you have a chance.
Roger, Paul, stand by one. George, are you okay up there?
Affirmative. It is in process as we speak, and welcome to you as a new South Cars member, Michael, KYA6VNO70, and good evening, Paul, good evening to you as well, to have a chance to say hi, as well as everyone else on the net, so much, KYA6VNO70.
Okay, muchas gracias, guys. N1SEZ, Mr. QRP, KY6V, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry for the interruption, but I was having a heck of a time getting in between these guys. Every time you put it out there for a call, I just couldn't do it, so I snuck in. Anyway, Gordon, great net, enjoyed it all. Want to thank everybody for being here, and special call out to Gary, KC2GA. Gary, it's great hearing you in there, and you and I are going to be working together come August for the technician class, so I'm looking forward to that too, and I was very happy to see that we got paired up, so that'll be great. Anyway, everybody have a great night, great weekend, good luck on field day if you're so inclined, and catch you on the Saturday AM connection, N1SEZ, back to Ned. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Paul. Last call. Ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to wrap it. We made it. We're sitting at the top of the second hour. Last call. Call now, please. KY6V.
KC2GA. Just wanted to let Paul know that the feeling is mutual, and mutual is your network for news and sports. B-doop.
What was that? B-doop at the end? Over.
It can't be mutual without that B-doop. You know, you get a doo-doo.
Good for you, Mr. Syracuse. All right, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thanks. Grand show. Appreciate everybody's contributions. We'll try and get the recording edited in the morning and posted on our website as a podcast for those of your friends that didn't make it tonight can listen to the goings on. So this has been SCARS. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website that I just gave to Michael. That's SCARSVOIP.com. Your net control this evening has been Gordon, KY6V, down here in South Florida. We're going to return the server and network back to normal use and abuse, and see all downstream. Thank you, KY6V, and bye-bye for now.
KY6V, KV9EWG?
Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, I'm quick. I had 1 foot almost in the kitchen. Over.
Okay. Well, I just was going to say, there was nothing mentioned on the live picture tonight, but a very interesting on that live picture. And welcome aboard the South Cars to Michael as well, KB9WG.
Yeah, I got sort of distracted. What was that about the live picture?
Nothing was mentioned on it tonight. It's an interesting live picture there, too.
Well, maybe that's my downfall. I guess Steve's got a new one, and it's not the car with all the antennas, huh?
No, it's not. I just was wondering if that wasn't the goat locker. yeah, I can take a peek there, I guess. Anyways, just thought I'd throw that in. KB9 EWG.
I'll take a peek. We'll be covering that Saturday morning for sure. Thanks, Dave. Keep your right high, Tiger. Good night, everybody. KY6V closing down. George, for your edification, evaluation, and elucidation, all my recordings look like they're going to be sound. So thank you for backing up in that department. KY6V is now clear.
Very good, Gordon. I'll keep it through tomorrow just in case. Break with you. KD8AOH. Michael, I'm getting a bounce back from your email address. I'm wondering if you can help me so I can send this to you, KD8AOH, N070, over.
Sure. It should be M as in Mike, B as in Bravo, Y as in Yellow, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo, S as in Sierra, 6, Niner, Niner, 7, at AOL.com. Over.
6, 9, or 9, or 7. Okay, I copied and pasted out of the text box, which had 6, 6, 9, or 7. All right, I will resend with 6, 9, or 9, or 7. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. KD8AOH and 70. Sorry, OAH. And again, welcome to South Cars and 73. Thank you again. And 70 clear.